Blog Talk Radio.
Another great weekend. Y'all know who y'all got. The Bread Man. One time for your mind. We are up in here. A glorious, glorious February the 3rd, 2014. The Bread Man. One time. Y'all know how we do this thing. I come in, give you a piece of an inspirational vitamin of this morning, and we would get promptly to the show. I want to thank everybody for had a problem logging on, but, you know, it's been rectified. I want to thank all the callers that hung in there and, wanted to hear the show or what have you. I want to thank y'all. Y'all some dedicated listeners. I want to thank you for that right now. As follows, we will have the Tech Talk today. We got everybody back in line. The program is set. And let me get started with it. This follows the inspirational vitamin. Singing God's praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise. You read that in Jeremiah 17, 14 verse. The person who has not raised his heart and voice to God in grateful praise has missed out on one of the greatest experiences of life. It is sad that so many people consider praise and worship to be something one needs to endure rather than enjoy. You do not need an organ or the church choir to truly praise and thank God. The simple lifting up of your heart to Him brings you straight into His present, and you cannot help but join with the angels surrounding his throne, singing his praise and glory. Let's go into prayer. Lord, I want to lift my heart to you and worship you, praise and thank you for you alone. God, I'm worthy. I want to ask right now, that, oh Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless the Grudge World, bless those who are currently in need. I want to ask that you continue to bless those that do not have, oh Heavenly Father. I want to ask that you continue to bless all of us so that we can get through this week, oh Heavenly Father, the way we need to. I want to ask that you continue to help those that are in need of achieving goals to complete that they would like to achieve, oh Heavenly Father. I want to ask that you heal all of us if we're sick. Heal the ones that are sick and shed in. If there is any needs with our families, anyone in need with their family, oh Heavenly Father, that is having trouble, I want to ask that you heal them right now, oh Heavenly Father. I want to ask all these blessings and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for once again listening at the Bread Man prayer and fellowshipping with me today. Oh, man, we have a great program laid out for you today. My main man, Jimmy Marino, in here for the Tech Talk. Good morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Good morning, Bread Man. Good morning. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing
well. I know you had a busy weekend wrestling.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Jimmy Marino, folks. Yes, I did, Jim. Man, my son, he's doing his thing, man. I'm so proud of him, and I'm just thankful that I get the opportunity to see, you know, my children and just, and, you know, just be able to bear witness on something that I've been looking at for years now. We've been wrestling for years, but he's never wrestled on the level he's wrestling on now. I want to thank you guys, you know, just for, you know, Jim, I want to thank you just for, you know, asking about that. But how did the race go this weekend, Jim? Man, I heard it was a outstanding show, and you know, I wish I could have been there. Wow.
It was actually a great race. There's a few points that I really thought I wanted to bring out. I was obviously, like always, am working a lot at the racetrack, so I didn't get to see all the racing. But there was some, I did see a few really good, nice money figured grudge races go off. And you know, the first thing I have to say is it was damn hot. It was just hot. It was it had rained a few days prior, but the morning, Friday morning, it stopped, and the race was Saturday. So we had, you know, everything dried up, and the track was absolutely on a kill. It was, I never heard a complaint from a single person about it. There was nothing to complain about, other than not having enough limiter to keep the front end down. That track was absolutely killer. We had actually, from what I understand, I wasn't up there the entire time. I talked to the prep crew afterwards, and there was no oil downs. Now, we did have a couple broken axles at the start line, had to clean up some of that stuff. You know, so there was some cleanup involved, rear windows blowing out of cars, stuff like that. But as far as all true oil downs, there was not one, which was amazing. That was good to see. Kept the racing going. Temperature was, like I said, hot. So it was probably high 80s.
Wow.
That was something I definitely noticed. And sunny all day. The one class that we brought in, tried to do something a little different than I had seen in the past. I thought it'd kick off good for the guys who love to race but don't have true race cars, or not, even if it is true race car, they're not on the budget level as the guys racing the 28-inch tire stuff, the 29-inch tire stuff, and, you know, but they want to go out and have some fun, and they'll knock some grudge races off here and there, but it really never, you know, those guys don't really have, there's no shootouts for them. So we did a OE tire shootout. Run what you brung, as long as it has doors on it, and it's got an original equipment replacement tire. So drag radials, we didn't call it DOT on purpose because those drag radials are DOT approved, some of them. No Mickey Thompson, ET Streets, nothing like that. No race tire of any sort. True OE replacement tires. Put it on your car, come out, and run for some money. That,
right.
That I thought it was cool. It was neat. It went off really well. We didn't get as many cars as I thought we'd get, but I think it was because people didn't really weren't used to it yet. I think it's something that's going to take some growth, but I think it's a good deal, and I think there's going to be some more. I had a lot of people come up to me after first round and wanting to get in and do some things, thought, you know, didn't realize exactly what it was and what kind of cars. I think they saw a shootout and assumed they were way outclassed, so they never entered. And then they saw a guy up there with his 20-inch wheels or something on a true radial tire, and he was out there and he ran good with us. It was, you know, that was the type of car that it was designed for. There was a Mercedes. Oh, the only other rule that I left out of there was no all-wheel drive cars, two-wheel drive only. I don't care if it's front or rear wheel, but we made it so it was two-wheel drive only, purposely to stop those. You know, there are some fast all-wheel drive import cars, those Nissan GTRs and stuff that can easily go in the eights and stuff, and we felt like that was something that would spoil the intent of they would just walk away with the class. So we said two-wheel drive only. It was pretty cool, and it was a game. And believe it or not, no one blew the tires off. I didn't see a single car in the event go out there and just smoke the tires. But there was some throttle control being used for sure.
Awesome. Well, Jimmy, I'm glad the show. Like I say, I wish I could have came. You know why? You know I didn't show up. But if it wasn't for that, I would have loved to come down and definitely enjoy the sunshine that y'all had down there. We do have some callers already with their hands up. I'm gonna let them on in here, Jim, if it's okay.
Yep.
We got my main man, the one and only. He doesn't need an introduction. Here he is, folks. Good morning. Welcome to the Bread Man, Jimmy Marino Show.
Hey, Bread. Hello. Hey, Bread Man. Bread Man, can you hear me? Bread Man.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear
y'all.
Me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You loud and clear, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay. Let me give you props. Let me give you props for having the show. But let me slap you on the head for getting Jimmy Moreno here to get a race report. You know damn well Jimmy can't get no race report. He a damn tuner. He can't get no race report, mate. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, Jimmy?
What's up, dog? How you doing?
Yeah. Hey, but
you
look
make
at
your home safe.
Hey, he tried to do okay now, but Jimmy cannot give a race report because he tells so many lies. What I mean, he told good lies, man. We had David or damn that one of the best surfaces out there, and Jimmy lied. Racers was complaining. They was complaining because we had rear-ends, drive shafts, windows, and everything falling out because doggone it, that track was hooking like everything, man. And first off, we want to say, a quick shout-out to Quick Rick and the boys and Buddy Rodem for putting on a decent show and for Jimmy for helping out because, like I said, he was there early in the morning before the track even opened up, helping everybody out, Red Man, me and him, you know, we got together on a few pointers and everything, and we got it going good. And like he said, it was outstanding racing down there. But he failed to mention that we had some for the kids out there, too. My girl Heather, doggone with the junior classes out there with her daughter, and we had my man Raul with the other junior classes. Now, like he said, maybe we didn't get the car count we wanted, but, man, we got some racing all day long, all the way to 11 o'clock that night. But what I'm going to say about the junior dragster there, man, was those little kids come out there with the damn junior dragster. Now, the whole crowd got quiet when they came out there, and they put in just like a regular doggone it, Dick Ty car, and they went up to the line, and they was putting on a show for their fans with the junior dragsters. Now, have a little girl. She a bad joker on that tree bed, man. She was double-doing on that tree and was killing for Raul. So they did something, and Raul finally won one of the races. They was running the best 2 out of 3 bed, man, so Raul finally won one of the races. So they came back and they had to give doggone it, Lilani, they had to give her the break. But, I mean, I don't know why they had to give him the break, because she was taking the break anyway. So she came back and won one, so they had a little match race, but that's 2 out of 3. So it was 1-1. So they came down to the third race for the doggone championship, or trophy and everything, man. And the lady cut the lights out on Raul on that light and went on and took the win. So props to the kids, man. Like I said, Jimmy and all the other people say, props to the kids, and props to Quick Rick and all them, and for his foundation, trying to raise money for abused women and the kids. Props to him for that, and I'm still tired. And I want to send special props out to Jimmy Moreno. Now, like I said, a lot of people said the show went well, but they don't realize how much behind-the-scenes work that people have to do to make a show go well. And props out to Jimmy, because Jimmy was doing some tuning. I don't know. Shit, I thought he was shooting on every damn part of the track. But, Red Man, I don't want to say what the facilities were, but they had a race at about 11 o'clock, about 10:30 that night. Two G-bodies, man. Two regular cars, man. Two G-body cars. They ran for so much money, my pockets couldn't hold it. That's all of us said. Now, Jimmy was tuning on one car. I don't know if he was tuning on the winning car or the losing car, but I swear I could have shown him tuning on both of the cars. But anyway, man, they had one hell of a, that was one hell of a grudge match they had down there, and that was the Florida boys fighting each other. And what Jimmy also been to tell you about them OEM boys. Now, you know how you go to Pep Boys or wherever you go to buy your tires. They had that old blue stuff on the tires and everything. You know that old blue stuff, that old blue, whatever they did on the tires when they brand new. One guy came out there at one event with that Nova. He had an old black Nova. I swear, it looked like now, that was a true street car. If he had over $200 in the whole car besides the tires he had just bought for it, it could have been a surprise. But anyway, he came out there and had to run in the finals with the doggone big, pretty one with the 22-inch rims and the doggone drag razors on there that was killing everybody. They ran in the finals, Red Man. And, man, that was a hell of a final. We had everybody out there on their feet waiting to see this hell. Everybody was out there betting on the doggone it. Is that a Regal? What is that, a Malibu or Regal?
It was a Regal. It was a Regal.
Okay. Everybody at the track, including me, was betting with that damn Regal, man. And, man, and Big Low and Pucci them came out there. I know something was funny because Big Low was betting me that the Nova was going to win. I said, to hell with what you said. I'm at the track. I done seen them run. I know who I'm going with. I'm going with that damn 22-inch big Tyreek. All right, they lined up. They messed around on the starting line like some real grudge racers out there. Fred, man, they made it good, man. They messed around out there. And, man, when they doggone finally lined up, the doggone Regal jumped out there, damn near toted the tires. The damn Nova butt up. I said, oh, I got him. Shit, next thing I know, that damn Nova, because he caught up, Fred, man. And doggone, they did something. I don't know what he hit. But them doggone old tires he had on there, they mess around there. And they went on down through that. I said, oh, man, I don't know who going to win. Find out the doggone Nova took him out of that doggone finish line. So the big old doggone Regal with the 22s on it went to the finals, but he got beat by the Nova, boy. And that was one hell of a race. But now,
the tuner of the Nova almost gave that one away. He screwed that one up. He felt like he needed to try to 60 foot with that blue car, and man, I gave it a couple degrees too much.
Right. Well, Jimmy, let me say one more thing, and I'm gonna go and let you get out of here because I'm gonna set the stage because you didn't tell all the action, but then you can fit in for all I left out because you, like you said, you were working. But now the best race of the night. Now, like Jimmy said, we didn't have that many cars in the shootout. Oh, and props to Big Low. Big Low won the 29-inch shootout, even though we didn't have but a few guys in there. Big Low won that, props out the Big Low team. But the best race of the day, well, they had all good races in that doggone 28-inch race. But we want to send a special props out to my man running Danger Wilson, a Wilson Manifold with a little green. Is that a turbo car? Is that a nitrous car, Jimmy?
That's a nitrous car.
Man, Troy Blake. Troy Blake got a... He got a Pro Charger or something, right?
No, that's a nitrous car also.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't know what the hell they do with these damn Mustangs, but I have a damn all of them sound like Pro Chargers or whatever. But anyway, Troy Blake and doggone it, running Danger Wilson was in the finals in the 28-inch race. Man, oh, man, that was one damn good-ass race. And like Jenny says, I don't know what the hell Ronnie Wilson was thinking about. He went out there and did something to his car. And when he left the line, the car went straight in the air. He was in the air. Old Troy eased up under him and was going by. And it looked like he must have hit some extra stuff out there, too. He got a little squirrely. And when he got a little squirrely, doggone it, Ronnie Danger Wilson managed to eke him out right there at the doggone finish line in the best race of the night. And like Jenny says, man, it was, I mean, no, don't get me wrong now. Every car has some traction problems, but that's because they didn't know how to really tune it for whatever they could have. See, you don't realize you can blow the tires away by having too little power, just is too much power. Anyway, we had a couple of people blowing the tires away, but overall the track was 98% good. Ain't no track 100. It was 98% good. The safety for Safari was good. The people that treated us good down there. So we just had a grand old time down there. 87-degree weather at the tip of that doggone. It was 87 degrees down there, and we had a good time. I know I had a grand time. I wouldn't mind. I started spending the night, but I changed my mind. I took, and special props out to Katie Rose also of taking the photography, for taking the pictures and everything out there. It was just so much stuff that you had to be there. If you didn't, if you wasn't there, you missed it. Now, I know I done talked a long time, Brett, man, but Jimmy, y'all fill it in, man, and I'm tired. I'm still tired. I'm filling in. One more thing I got to say before I go. I want to send special props out again to T5 and Big Low. They know I was on the road. They did call me to make sure I was on the road and make sure I was okay, man. But next time, y'all, then y'all will hear about it. I was at home damn near almost sleeping. They woke me up just to check on me. But I appreciated everything. Jenny, you know the deal. I appreciate everything you did, but that's all of us said. With that being said, Brad, man, thank you for letting me come on your show to give a thumbs up right now. Jenny, outstanding show, and you know what I mean.
Hey,
dog,
you're not going anywhere, are you? I want to bring up another subject later on in the show. Are you going to be gone, or are you going to be around?
No. I'm going to be on there, but I got some road on because I'm on the road now, but I'm going to be on there listening, man.
Okay.
All right, I'm gone. I appreciate it. All right, Brad, man, I'm on mute, Brad.
Thank you for the full report.
You know, dog.
Like said, it was hot. He said it was 87 degrees, and I damn sure believe it. It was hot. And one thing I had, Troy Blake almost won the final. He lost in the final. Props out to him.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. I got to break in one more time because I didn't got jumped on already. I know that I was going to forget something. And Bobby Childs was there, doggone it, doing the doggone hospitality thing for you. He was working on the mic, trying to help out everything. You don't forget, my man, Bobby Childs came all the way from U.S. 19 in Auburn, in Georgia. He was down there, and he was going to try to get doggone it. Heather and Tabitha Taylor and a little brush match. Both of them have Camaros. So, Jenny, I had to say that, Bobby Childs, we appreciate you too, man. I knew what I was going to get somebody because I'm miscombobulated. I'm gone.
I want to give props out to Troy Blake. He did put up the money and sponsor the 28-inch tire class that he was trying to win. He's trying to keep that money to himself. End up writing the check to Ronnie Wilson, as Dog said. So, you know, props out to him for supporting the stuff we do, giving back to it, and putting up the payout money for that class.
Man, that is awesome. I didn't know that Bobby, went down there and went to the race. That was awesome for him to get out this early in the season, and I want to give a big ups to Tabitha. That is one heck of a driver. She's going to be a great grudge racer one day. She's still trying to create action out here. I remember one of the shootouts in the making I saw her in. Man, her dad really got her where she needs to be. Tabitha, you doing your thing. Congrats. But, Jimmy, we got another line lit up. I don't know if they want to ask a question or what. You want to take any calls now? You ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, dope. 443-0691. I do see you with your hand up. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bread Man Jim Marino Show. How are you this morning?
Hello. I'm sorry. I hit it by mistake. I'm just listening. Dope.
Are you just listening?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Bread Man, one more thing, too. We want to send props out to doggone Buddy Rowe for getting a doggone little presentation up for Prince when I was following Warriors. He gave him a plaque. Him and Quick Rick gave him a plaque for Prince when I was following Warriors. His wife, his mother, and all his family was out there and everything.
Yeah, if everyone doesn't know, Prince was
an old-time drug racer from down here, mentored a Big Low and a lot of that team, a lot of those guys from down south. I never got the pleasure of getting to know him too well, but he had a great reputation down here, and he passed middle end of last year. So they did a little service for him, and it was great. Great to support some of the legends.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Prince was Big Lowe's. I should say our team transmission man, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I know what he. Yeah.
But
so,
more than that, he was someone who Big Low and the team, that whole group, P5, everybody down in the Fort Lauderdale, Pompano area, really looked up to, through the years. He was that guy that everyone looked up to and knew they could go to and knew more about grudge racing when they were kids, and he was the man back then.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, one more thing, Brett, man. People might not realize what you said about Bobby Childs. He had his own racetrack. He closed his own racetrack to come down there to try to help them guys out and do what he can. And I'm saying that because people don't realize the importance that everybody can do. And one more thing, I want to ask Jimmy a question. I'm going to say something before I ask the question, though. I don't know how in the hell. Jimmy, first thing, how many damn cars was you working on at the track, Jimmy?
Quite a few. And everyone that kept asking, where's your car? I said, man, do you see how many cars I'm working on? You think I can drive my own?
One more thing I want to say about Jimmy. That wasn't what I really wanted to say about Jimmy. But Jimmy was working on, to be honest with you, I thought maybe he put on the damn whole show because if I didn't see him touching or working on every damn car damn near at the track. What I did want to say, Jimmy, for all y'all that don't know now, you might have to get to know Jimmy because I've seen, Jimmy, ever since I met him, I never had a problem with Jimmy. But I've seen a different side of Jimmy. Jimmy's a pretty good organizer, but he's so damn direct, though. He's a direct joker, boy. If he wants things done right, though. So, Jimmy, you're a direct guy. You know how to do good things organized. And I have to say, Jimmy, you're down to earth. You know what I mean, Jimmy. You're down to earth, and you try to show everybody is doing the right thing, and you try to treat everybody the right way to make sure people get it. And for people out there, if Jimmy Moreno is involved with your program, he might not be in charge, but I'd be damned if he don't take charge. Jimmy, that's all I can say, man. I appreciate everything you did. Like I said, I keep saying, you know what I'm talking about. And Jimmy, and for all y'all that don't know, I don't know how good he is, but he must be some good, because I'd be damned. I know for a fact he had to be working on 10 or 12 cars down there.
Yep, I was, and they were keeping me busy.
Well, with that being said, I have another gentleman that hand is up here. This gentleman is actually my motivator. All the above, I gotta get him in here. The one and only Bobby Wow Child Billy Go Pack.
Redman, you shouldn't have done that. You know the goat is gone. I don't know why. Y'all let the goat go. Goat may be bent up,
but he ain't gone. The goat may be bent up, but he ain't gone.
I just want to confirm some of the things that Dog and Jimmy Reno said. Man, I had a ball down there. You know, it's fun when you go and see everybody else scratching their head and wonder what this and calling people to the lane. I mean, I just laid back. Me and my wife had fun. Dog is too crazy. He ain't got good sense, but I'm surprised he did come back that night. I never met Jim Marino, not knowing it, and met him, and I said, Miss B, who is Jim Marino? She said, he done walked by you about four times. I said, oh, that's the guy right there. So we finally met, had a brief conversation, went on, because he was real busy. Because like I said, I kept seeing him coming by, like Dog saying. I think he worked on everybody's car down there. I'm going like, well, that guy can study back and forward, But I had a ball. I had a ball. I enjoyed Eric and I enjoyed everything. It was nice. First time I've ever been down there. Hey, don't plan on being my last time. Or like I said, yeah, we're going to get a little matchup between this Heather and Tabitha, because now Heather can drive that car too. That's going to be one good one between them two women. I like to see them go at it. But anyway, just don't want to take up a lot of time. You know, had a good time. Enjoy, buddy, yo, Rick, and all of them. I mean, we just had fun at that racetrack. I'm being honest with you. I had fun. Hey, I'm going on mute.
Hey,
Bobby, hold on, Bobby. I'm glad you're going on mute. See, like I told you, I wasn't prepared to get no report and everything. Like you said, I forgot all about my little daughter, Miss B. She did an outstanding job in running the doggone show. And she was over with the dunk show and all them other things and everything, man. Like I said, you always forget somebody because they just bleed in so well, you just forget about them. But Miss B, I'm sorry, I forgot about you, baby. Yeah, Miss B was running the doggone thing because, you know, normally I do it, but she just took it over and she was running it. So I doggone damn near forgot about it. Bobby, thanks for remembering that, Miss B. Outstanding job you did in car days and everything. And like I said, I know we might be missing some other people behind the scene, but like I said, I'm still tired, though. But, yes, it was a damn good show. I'm back on mute.
Dog, you know, when they consistently do a good job, you start to take it for granted. Yes, she did a great job. Is all I know that she had to do a good job because I didn't have to get involved in anything you or her were involved in. So it was good that I didn't even have to know what was going on.
That's awesome. Miss B, you've been doing the thing. I want to give a big props to her as well. Miss B, if you out here listening, job, I appreciate you looking out for Jimmy and the promoter. You know, you're doing your thing, and we look forward to you continue to do well in what you do. It's hard to follow up behind the Godfather because, you know, he expects nothing less than greatness from you. And when you got a teacher like that, just like myself, I can't be as good as I am without, you know, the Godfather helping me and schooling me to be all I can be. So, you know, as long as you know the Godfather, you know that he don't look for nothing but greatness. So, Miss B, thank you for a great job. We want to say that. Even though I wasn't there, I'm glad to hear that you're doing a great job. And, Bobby, I can't believe you went down to Florida and you know, this early in the year, because normally, you know, you don't go nowhere until the Gator Nationals. You know, I know that, you know, that be one of y'all vacation weeks. But, Buster Brown, they let you get on out early this year, huh? Bobby. Hello. He out there, y'all. He out there. Well, Jimmy, I got another hand up. Let me go ahead and see what this caller, 313-5727. Yo, Mike is live. Welcome to
Good
the
afternoon.
Bread, man.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
All right,
how
about yourself? Fine.
Great.
I got a question for Jimmy. I'm using a grid system, but I got multiple nitro systems. What do I use for timers to turn the nitro systems on?
Okay. There's a lot of different options to time it, but it can't be – the grid will not control – will not feed an output to turn the nitro systems on. So you can use digisets. We have a few different versions that we use of digisets. There's a lot of electronic controllers, digital controllers. Some cars actually use the K&R, the delay box company, makes a box. It's a delay box, but it also has three or four timer outputs in it. It's all digital. That's an option. The grid will actually control one output. So if you had two stages, you want one off the trans brake and just had a second stage, the grid could do that. The problem with using the grid or ignition box to do just that is if you're in the lanes and you want to change when you turn the second kit on, you got to pull your laptop out to adjust it. So you need something that gives you the opportunity to reach over and flip the switch and adjust the time, whether it be digital or analog, you know, a hard switch. Mechanical device. So you need something separate from the grid box to tell the systems when to turn on.
Okay.
There's a lot of, you know,
there's companies like Spaghetti Menders and those that make wiring systems that are already pre-wired where you just plug and play to control that stuff. That stuff works great. Nothing wrong with it. I use it in some stuff. It's not, it's well worth the money, but it's not the cheapest thing in the world. So there's other options. It depends on where your budget fits, but it, that stuff really is nice. It very keeps it, your wiring very simple. So if it fits in your budget, it's a great deal.
So what's the name of that again?
Spaghetti Menders.
Spaghetti Menders, okay.
Yeah. And there's another one called Speedwire. And there's a few others. If you ask around some of the local race car shops or anything who they're using, there's quite a few of them. I personally have used Spaghetti Menders for all mine and had great success with them. I know there's other ones out there. As a matter of fact, I believe the guys down at ATF Automatic Transmission Factory that Sean App, Ash, and Jason Gatlin use, I think they're Speedwire reps. For that company, so they can hook you up with all that stuff.
Okay.
So if you look up ATF, Automatic Transmission Factory in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I know, I'm pretty sure they're a dealer for them, so they can get you hooked up with that.
Okay.
Oh, hey, right. Caller, if you don't mind, where are you calling out of? What state?
Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. Well, thank you, caller, for calling in and participating.
Well, isn't Team Z, the guys from Team Z up by you?
Yeah.
They do they just do chassis parts, or do they build race cars as well?
I think they're in the building the cars now because they just moved into a new building.
They're up by you, and I'm sure they have a deal with one of those major companies that do that stuff, I'm guessing. It's what, you know, all new cars nowadays are getting away from, you know, are using systems like this, pre-manufactured boards with the relays
okay.
and built into it, because it's so much, your wiring gets so much neater. You don't have, that's why I call it Spaghetti Menders, because you don't have all that spaghetti wiring. It eliminates a whole lot of jumping wires from relay to relay. It's all done within a pre-organized board, and you just have lugs that stick off to plug your wires in. And it cleans the wiring up really nice. Like I said, it's not a low-cost thing, but it's worth the money.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, thank you, caller. Thank you, caller. Thank you for calling in and participating.
Thank you.
All righty. Yeah, Jim, if any other callers have any tech questions, y'all can go ahead and hit the one button now. I can slap you on with the Jimmy Marino.
Look here, Brad, man. Let me help y'all out again, because I know Ernie's going to kill me about it, because, you know, he got his show on tonight. But I want to know, since, you know, y'all show ain't as great as ours, do I got to put that plug in there? I'm just talking fast. I got to pep my back sometime. But anyway, a question for Jimmy, serious question for Jimmy. Jimmy, that doggone crank trigger eye, the air gap between the crank trigger and the eye there, if it's too small or too little, could you give me an idea of what that'll do, and give me the symptoms on if it's too small or too far?
Okay. It's pretty simple. Too tight, you gotta imagine that with all the horsepower and everything, these cranks flex slightly, and they're going to flex, and as much they make them billet and everything else. Basically, you have it too tight, you do not want the crank trigger wheel to hit the eye under load. That's your biggest thing. We usually set them about 40 thousandths of an inch. So 40 thousandths feeler gauge is what I usually set them at. Some people say put a dime in them. That works too. When the gap gets too wide at higher RPMs is where you're going to notice it first. It'll actually miss the trigger and not set that trigger, and then it won't fire on that rotation. So for that cylinder. So we'll hear a popping down at high RPM when we have one going bad, missing sound, or the gap's too wide. But the typical gap that I've always run, and I believe it's what MSD suggests, or pretty close to it, is 40,000.
Okay, now, okay, what if you're going to hear, what side should you hear on? I mean, you know, we ain't trying to hear, but if you're going to hear, where you got the most problem on the big, too big or too little?
I'm saying that again.
If you're going to be in error, if you're going to be in error, which side is the best way to be in error, too big or too little?
Well, perfect. We strive for perfection. You know, like I said, too far, you're going to miss. You're gonna have a misfire issue, which could cause as a major issue if you end up firing fuel in the manifold or something like that. Green Mustang did dog down there when he dropped. I'm assuming he dropped a valve or something. He saw that thing absolutely grenade at about 150 feet.
Oh, that's right. For all y'all that didn't, yeah, Jimmy. For all y'all that didn't know, that's right. We had a guy that dog was on a perfect stand, and about 150, 200 feet, he blew the whole intake off the thing. Scoop everything up in there, about
100
feet up in there.
At that pass, he was on a run. I mean, that thing was beautiful. It was not missing. It was not shooting dust. I mean, that thing was running, and it must have broke a valve, dropped a valve, something, because suddenly it grenaded.
Yeah. But Jimmy,
I would not err to the side of. You know, if nothing else, I've heard that dime trick works. I've never used it, but put a dime between there and then tighten it down to the dime and slide the dime out.
Jimmy, what I'm really asking you, I understand if, as a tuner what you would do, but that's because you know what you're doing. I'm trying to say for an old jackleg guy like me and Breadman, if we even go out there and think we know what we're doing, I mean, what's going to be the worst case scenario if we went too big or too little? What I'm basically asking you is, if you're going to mess up, Which one the best to mess up on? I ain't that one of them the best, but I'm saying
mess up and have it too wide, because if you mess up and put it too tight,
yeah,
and it rubs the crank trigger wheel, you're gonna tear up the sensor. It's not gonna fire, and you're gonna tear up the wheel. So
okay.
You'll see some. You know I've seen some cars that I've messed with that have you can see a big the edge of the, you know, whether it be an MSD wheel that's all anodized red. And the whole ring around the outside is silver where it's been rubbing. That's obviously someone had it too tight at one point, and it just rubs and they end up tearing up the sensor. So, I would not want to do that, because you're going to start to get physical damage, and I don't know what parts are going to break off and go flying. So I would not err to that side. I would err to the side of a little too big if I had to make the choice, you know. And if it's popping and banging, going down the track at high RPMs under high loads, then you know that you might be a little too wide and you need to tighten it up.
Damn good answer, Jimmy. Yes, sir. Damn good answer, Jimmy. I appreciate it, brother. Breadman, I'm on mute, baby.
That sounds great. Well, folks, Yes, sir, Bobby. Go ahead.
I just wanted to probably let Jimmy talk about the oil accumulator. You know, I had one of them on my car, and I was trying to see, ask Jimmy, well, I'm pretty sure it's an advantage to having one, especially for bracket guys or the guys going down there slamming on brakes. Jimmy, you want to tell me a little about that oil accumulator?
I missed half that. You were breaking up a little bit. I know you're asking about the oil accumulator.
Yeah, the oil accumulator. You know, I got one that got 3 quarts in it. You know, my slam-on brakes to just keep the oil pressure up above 40 pound PSI,
yep.
You know. And,
I think it's a great deal. I like the idea. There is, to me, the pump deal is a dry stuff deal. But the oil accumulator also does things that dry stuff won't. The reason I bring up dry stuff is because the whole point, and I'm almost changing the subject here, but I want to go down this path to get to your answer, is a dry sump oil system. If you kick a rod out of the motor, that pan is essentially empty the entire time. It's got 4 or 5 scavenge sections of that pump, meaning suction, and as oil hits the bottom of that pan, it's got pickups all over the place, sucking that oil right out of the bottom of your oil pan and putting it over to a tank. It only has one pump section to pump that motor back in the motor. So if you can pull out five, if you're trying to pull out five times more than you're putting in, obviously it's not in there. If you go kick a rod out of the motor, your chances of oil dumping down on the racetrack, you know, additionally, you should have a diaper or engine containment pan, but above and beyond that, you're eliminating the opportunity to not just destroy a motor, but get oil under the back tires and a lot of oil, you know, that may overflow your containment or your diaper and get under the tires and destroy a race car and possibly hurt yourself in the meantime.
Right.
Yeah. Going to try to make enough back out. Ultimately, that caused an issue because now you're pushing over.
You're going in and out, Jim. Jim, you're going in and out. And I think I...
No, I was just bringing that bread because I have one on my age, especially if you go down to the end of the track and when you slam on brakes. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it, that the oil pressure drop down tremendously when they slam it on brakes. And as soon as you get on the return road, you know, if you notice your oil pressure jump back up. But I just know that thing is real. You know, I you know, throw down the engine, looked at one before I start using it, and you're better.
Well, see, Fred, man, Bobby can do that because on them real slow cars, he's looking at his oil pressure gauge. I ain't never seen a thunder going down the track looking at his damn oil pressure gauge.
You know, tell you what, if you slam on brakes, I'm pretty sure everybody slam on brakes or got some kind of indicator when the cars are stopping. You know, you're like, I got an idiot light, what we call an idiot light. You know, when the oil pressure drop down, the light come on, going like.
Okay, but it's saying like, come on, Bobby, because if anybody, I'm going to tell you a secret now. Brett, man, this is some knowledge for your show. If you out there racing the doggone car and you know what your oil pressure is while you're going down the track, you need to get your ass out that car.
Hey, dog.
I said stop it. I didn't say going down. I said stop it.
No, you didn't. You said you slam on your brakes and you see your oil pressure go down. If I slam on my brakes, I definitely ain't when you don't slam on your brakes, if you finish the run, Bobby, you got to teach these young kids. If you slam on your damn brakes, you might do something. Anything. Nobody slams on their brakes run, Bobby. Come on now, Bobby. Don't make me get you in trouble today.
Let me do it the correct way. I applied the brakes when I started slowing down. Okay, all right.
You can't let them get no bad information on your show. All right, Bobby, you done made up for the mistake. You're talking about slamming on the brakes. You're looking at damn oil pressure.
Hey, dog. Bradman, is it certain thing that them guys slam on the brakes? Bradman.
In the type of race.
Bradman, don't you let Bobby lie.
Hey, look here. Hey, dog. In bracket racing, they do it. They slam on brakes.
They only slam on brakes if they're trying not to break out or something like that. If they going on the dial in, Bobby. But ain't nobody going to – okay, I want one more racer, any racer to come on the phone, and I'm going to shut up. If any one racer come on the phone and tell me they slam on their brakes and look at their arm pressure gauge, I'm going to shut up.
Well, I don't know if I slipped. Hey. Stop, though. I'm going over you.
Brett, man, I want you to do that. Otherwise, the Godfather got to keep this straight. I want to see one. I don't care if it's one racer that come on here and say they slam on their brakes and then look at their arm when they slam while they slamming on their brakes.
I don't think nobody going to click in on that. But what Bobby was trying to say is basically. And in the type of racing we got a caller. We got a caller that pressed the one button on that answer. Let me get him in here. 813-0041.
Bradman, good morning, Bradman.
Good morning. How are you? This is Mr. Tip with Tip Racing down in FLA. He is the man. He has his own show and everything. Tip Racing, welcome to the Bradman Show. Thank you.
Go ahead.
How are you today? And I wanted to ask you, do you have any answer for the question that was just asked, that Dog asked about? Do you, while you are in Heads Up, Madness, You're going down the track. You have an oil accumulator hooked onto your motor. Do you, if you're out too far and you're ready to take the stripe and you're taking it by a big margin, do you hit the brakes and look at your oil meter?
Oh, no. I don't hit no brake looking at no oil. I didn't know my oil pressure is going down the track. I ease into my brakes a little bit just to slow the car down. But I ain't slamming on no brakes and I ain't looking at the oil pressure, man. I ain't got time for that.
Yes, I know why, because your car is rather very fast and you don't have time to look at the oil meter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's very true. Now, when I come back off the return road down island, I look at all the temperature gauge and the oil gauge and F gauge and stuff like that.
Hey, Mr. Tim, thank you now. Hey, Brad, man, now, you pulled me, dog. You trying to make it seem. You trying to ease up, though. Ain't no dummy out there racing looking at no oil pressure when they hit no brake. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, we all got knowledge. Mr. Tim, I appreciate it, Mr. Tim. I appreciate it,
hey,
bro.
Well, dog, you know what I meant. You know I'm not telling anybody.
Bobby, hold on.
With Smokey, I'm going to say this right now.
I'm going to say this and be quiet. What I'm saying is when you say that, though, you got to explain it to us because we got some dummies like me that think that you got to explain what you meant by you hitting under the brakes and looking at it. See, Mr. Tiff came and told you what he's doing. Now, once he's doing his wrong, he peeping his gauges and everything, but ain't no dummy out there mashing on no brakes looking for no damn oil pressure.
You too, dog. You ain't going that fast. You can look at it.
Now you're trying to change it around. I'm on mute, Brad, man. I got this show pumping up. I'm on mute.
Hey, Brad, man. I got a question for you. What kind of oil pans he got on that motor? He got a winded spray in that thing or what? I mean, why is he losing so much oil pressure?
That question is to you, Bobby.
No, I don't. I got a billet pump on it, and it's just the pump and the stream is all built.
Yeah, but you don't have a window spray in the pan?
It's got one in the pan, but it's still let all pressure drop down.
Does it have a door in the pan, too?
Yeah, got a trap door in it, yep.
Huh.
See, I'm going kind of fast, so I'm trying to stop down there, you know what I mean? And if you bracket racing, which, you know, that's what we used to do a lot, and it's easy to see that.
Bobby, I'm back. It's Jimmy. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon to, when that oil pump slows down from a high speed, when it's coming down like that,
mm-hmm.
it will, when it changes that speed that drastically, when you let off, it's not
mm-hmm.
as much hitting the brakes as letting off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And it will top like that. Now, here's the thing is you got to remember. You really have to, if you look at your bearings, or they're going to tell you everything about your oil system, you know, after so many runs.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the oil accumulator thing to keep the oil pressure up, especially to allow you to get oil pressure to the motor prior to firing it. I think that's a huge asset of using that oil accumulator. Isn't there a button that you push and you prime the motor with it prior to firing it?
Yeah.
And I think that's more of an advantage of it than anything. But when that pump slows down speed that quick, being a wet sump pump, it is going to drop pressure. But you're also dropping the load on the motor, meaning the load of the rod against the crankshaft and the rod bearings, as well as the main bearings. For it to drop down to 40 PSI, I think you said, I don't see that as an issue. It wouldn't scare me.
Okay.
But an oil accumulator for that situation is not a bad idea. I just was pointing out earlier that, you know, it's something, there's plus and minuses to everything we do. And I was pointing out earlier a negative to it, but there's definitely positives to it as well. But I think it's more of that pumps, you're pulling RPM and that pump's getting driven off of the distributor. And then it goes into reverse mode, you know, where it starts dragging. It's not being driven anymore. It's actually dragging, and that's what's causing the drop in oil pressure.
Well, it scared me so bad, so I just put one on it, and then I didn't have any more problem. I know, you know, once I done that, hey, okay, you know, tow me engine down, you know, laid on, bearing wasn't even hurt, so I'm going like,
yep.
Okay.
Did you ever have bearing issues even when the oil pressure did drop?
Yeah, I was having some bearing issues.
Oh, yeah. You were having some bearing issues. So, you know, it's something worth trying. But I do have to agree with Dog. I have no idea what the oil pressure is going down the racetrack at any point. And if you look at it,
you're going fast, but
and I was just going there. Now I don't do any bracket racing or anything like that, and so I'm not used to that. If the car ain't going bottom fours, I don't know. So I don't sit in many cars that aren't doing that, and we definitely don't look at the oil pressure just because there's too much going on there.
Y'all remember now, I said when we get, I might have used the word clamp, you know, but slam on the brakes. But, you know, I said at the end of the run,
yeah.
I didn't say nothing about looking at the oil gauge.
Yeah.
I said at the end of the run when you're getting ready to get on the return road. Put that thing back, Red Man Tradition here. I said when you're at the end and you're getting ready to get on the return road, your oil pressure drop. Did
yep.
I not say that, Brett, man?
Yeah. I ain't down yet. I got broken. I was breaking up, and I got cut off. And, you know, my phone died, cut off, so
Dog,
I had to get back on
Dog,
the show.
See, so. Dog be looking at the gauge while he going to try to look at it. Well, Dog got time to look at it, to tell you the truth.
Y'all need to stop.
Here's my thing is I click it off. I click the motor off at simultaneous with letting off the throttle normally. So, you know, I'm going through the traps. I snatch the chutes, reach up and let off throttle and put the switch off from there. And that's just my routine. Everyone's got their routine. And I understand, when you're bracket racing and stuff, you're driving the car back and all that, so it doesn't make sense to click the motor off because you got to fire it back up to drive back to your pit. So it's just a different routine.
Correct, I agree.
Well, we have another caller, Jimmy. Mr. Tip, did you get your question answered, or you? Before I go to the next caller?
Yeah, go ahead to the next caller. I'm just copying the mail, man. I'm just sitting back listening.
All right, all right. 313-0537. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino Show. How are you doing?
Hello?
Yes, how are you today, sir? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how are you, sir? You're on the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino Show. Did you have a question for Jimmy Marino or any type of promotional or anything? Come on with it. You're on live with the Bread Man. One time for your mind. How can I help you? Hello, sir.
I think you dropped his phone.
He might need to call emergency service over there. The way all that noise. Sir, how are you doing?
He's gone.
Told you back on mute there, Chief. I see you with your hand up, but. You know, I don't know if you can hear me or whatever. But anywho, if y'all have any questions or if y'all, any promoters out there that would like to promote their race, they can hit the one button now and get it in.
Let me start with that one. Dog, that was the segment I was waiting for that I said I want to talk to you later in the show. I was having a little conversation with Ronnie Brown earlier and wanting to, you know, it's one of my favorite races of the year is Ronnie Brown's race. Wanted to talk to you a little bit and do a little discussion about what's going on there and it's getting close. We're only a few weeks away. You there, Dog?
Yeah. I'm here. I'm over here. I was on mute because I had some background noise.
All right. Yeah, that was what I was waiting for to bring up later. You know, I talked to Ronnie, and he was a little busy, couldn't get on the show, but, you know, he said you you know, you're very involved in that deal. And
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I got a surprise for you. Hold on.
All
right. Hey, Jimmy. Ernie.
Yes, sir.
What's happening, my man?
What's going on? How you doing?
I was watching it rain for a little while. We got Ronnie Davis on tonight with Racing Batteries on the Tech Talk show tonight. You ought to give him a call and give him a hard time.
All right. I will. I'm going to call in. What time's that show?
We start at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
What's going on, Ernie?
All right, Brad, man. Oh, having fun today. Dog walking here hungry. Got to take him over to the doghouse to feed him.
Oh, man. Y'all got Ronnie Davis on tonight, huh? Man, that's a tough one right there now.
Yep. Ronnie is the head tech of Rock Racing Batteries. So
yeah,
he knows anything about them.
He runs those 16-volt batteries, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was anything but 16-volt in drag racing anymore.
I think next thing I'll be going to is 24s, so that's not a problem.
Yep.
I've been working on the 24s now for a couple of years, and I don't see any reason not to be at a 24-volt.
I agree completely. The only thing is, will the electronics community make the move to support it?
Well,
MSDs and all that stuff, and big stuffs, and, you know, we're going to need them involved to do that. But that's a great, great topic.
Well, you know, one of the things I always thought about was use a MOSFET to drop your 24 volts down to 16 to run those items and let the 24 do the starter and everything.
That I agree with that completely. I don't know, Redman, one of your close friends, Chris Patrick, and those guys, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but to hear this starter on that motor in his car, man, that thing sounds like a jet engine turning over before it fires. It sounds like you got no spark plugs in it when it's turning over. And all I can assume is it's 24 volt. Because that thing, when they turn it over, it sounds like in the stage delay, it'll get ready to fire to make a run. It sounds like the left spark plug driver turns over so fast.
Well,
yeah,
honestly,
you're going to get the extra torque.
Yeah, he has those, what is it called? Lithium or whatever that battery.
Lithium. Yeah, and we run those as well, but we're running 16 volt lithium batteries, and my motor ain't near what his is, and it don't turn over half as fast. He's got something figured out over there to get that thing to whiz over quick. He's a smart dude. I'm sure he's got some kind of secret going on.
I'm glad Ernie got that Ronnie Davis on tonight, because I have some questions for him as well on the Rock batteries. You know, they have a lot of different manufacturers, and a lot of people really don't know. Rock is they've been out for a couple of years now, but you know, I really wanted to ask, you know, also, you know, like the different chargers. You know, you can buy different chargers now to charge those 16-volt batteries. And, you know, a lot of the ones that they want, you know, like, say, Rock has its own charger to charge their own battery. I wondered if, you can use the same 16-volt to charge any of them. Redman, why you got my mind, that was going to be one of the main questions I was going to ask tonight about that, man.
Yeah, let's hold that out for tonight. Let's get on that subject tonight, because I got some questions there as well. As far as, and I probably need to talk to Ronnie on the side. I got some real deep technical questions on it, but something he may not want to show up on the radio.
Well, you can answer. Now, hold on a minute, baby. I got to get on Jimmy, because I'm kind of pissed off at Jimmy for not knowing about our take show, and we know about his take show. Now, Jimmy, that ain't right now. You got to know your business now.
Hey, I've been a little busy lately. I've been on your show a few times when I can get on.
Well, we know, Bradman ain't got but 20 lines. We're trying to get in 25 lines so everybody can get on there now. We moved up in the world.
Ernie always, that's one thing about Ernie, he always hold a line open for me because he know I'm going to get in there one way or another. And likewise, I can't believe you put him in here. He normally call in himself, but I guess he busy this morning. But that's all
good. Well, yeah, we kind of tied up a little bit there. And like I said, baby, man, you know, Ernie done got, he done started lifting weights, getting ready for his show now. He lift weights now.
Willie Dog. Willie Dog.
Yeah.
8 Mile Pro Tree. February the 15th, running Brown Race, Smokey against Bobby Charles Jr. What you going to do, boy?
The only thing about that, I got one skip. They might put me in jail for running him head up. I got to give him the back tie.
Good.
Great.
We'll take that, too.
Now, you're not going to take it. You're not going to take nothing. I said I'm going to give it to you. You don't take nothing.
Okay. Well, we don't. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for giving. What are we going to do? Huh? What are we locking in on? I'm sick of you. You've been down there in Florida talking
hey,
that same
shit. This is the bread man Jimmy Moreno show. We can't come on here and bogart that show with no lock-in race.
Okay. All right. I heard you.
The slowest dog on the G-body in the world.
Well, we're going to find out how much smoke he really can smoke.
Well, we was going to get to that segment later, but, you know, I can go ahead and it is getting close to that time that, you know, I can go ahead and throw that in there. Let me throw my music in there. Dog, you know, you want to get him the back tie. He must be. Let me throw my music on. Hold on a minute. Let me throw my Grudge Race music on. There you go, dog.
Hey, Red Man, don't start me. I'm trying to be nice. You know, if I get into my race board, I start cussing. I don't want to start cussing on this shit.
Dog, there you go. Bobby Wild Child Jr., the dog at Ronnie Brown Race. And go ahead. Y'all go ahead. I'm finished. The music is on. Grudge Talk Radio is.
Hey, we're turning that damn music off, Greg, man. We can't hear shit with the damn music, though. Like Bobby Giles. Bobby Giles.
I was on mute. I'm there. I'm back.
Yeah, it's going to stay on mute. We're going to lock in 500 on 1,000 or better. You got the back tie and lane choice.
We're smoking. That's locked.
It's locked. 500 on 1,000 or better. You got the back tie and lane choice straight off the trailer.
I'm not coming straight off the trailer.
If you didn't change motors, you ought to have him dial in. You got a track down there that you can go test any day. If you want me to go.
I done told you what I'm going to do. Now, you shut up and take it like we did. Heads up. You've been talking all this twice, Mike.
Okay. If that's the case, then it's going to be head up. Pro Tree, flip for lanes, be ready to race by 4 o'clock.
6.
5.
6.
Kiss my ass. Anyway, Jimmy Moreno, let me talk to somebody going to race. Bobby just want to talk. He just like to hear
no,
him talking.
Shut up,
Bobby. I don't want to talk to you no more. Jimmy Moreno, the Stone Cold said you got to race too. They want anything you... They said they want to try you on the 15th too, Jimmy.
Okay. Well, we got to see what car we got together. That's going to be a question. I don't know what we got to even run them with.
I just got a text, Jimmy. They said they apologized to you and they sorry that they made y'all sell the car and the motor stuff. They said they sorry. They didn't mean it. If they was going to beat y'all, I knew y'all was going to do that. They wouldn't beat you.
Good. Great.
I wish they had that pull. I wish that was the reason. But it's sold, but it ain't gone. I could put it back together. So they better not do too much talking because that thing can go right back together as quick as it came apart.
Jimmy, I didn't want to get into this because it might make people look bad, but they got a little doggone poll going out on them saying who the best tuner, you or Mike Hill. And after Mike hit and whoop your butt, man, at first you was leading. You was leading at first when White didn't whoop your butt. Man, you didn't get but one more vote, man.
Yeah.
I think Mike Hill is the best tuner. He's a bad man. But,
I want you to talk to Mike.
I tell you what. Let me have some time to see what I get put together, and we may lock something in with them. But they can't they can't go whining like they did before about this and that and trying to find any reason not to do it. Now, I ain't talking about Mike. I ain't talking about nephew, but my boy Stone, man, he was being hard about getting that race locked in. So if we do it again, we ain't playing that game.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
He was playing poker, man. He just waited that doggone to find out what you gonna fold or not. And when you didn't fold, he went on and folded too. You didn't know you gotta wait. That was just a strategy. That man never was scared of you, man. He was finna run you. He was finna give you the back tie till he stopped drinking. Now he was drunk at first and was gonna give you the back tie.
Oh.
Wow.
But you didn't wait long enough, Jimmy. You didn't wait long enough. You jumped out there too quick.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I don't usually negotiate these races. That ain't my thing. I want to tune them and drive them. And, I wanted to run them, and when they had the opportunity to do it, and when they finally set up and said they'd do it, and I wasn't going to give that opportunity up.
Yeah, but they just outwitted you, Jimmy. They just outwitted you. See, I don't like Stone Cold. I wanted you to beat the shit out of him, but I like Mike Hill and Nephew, though. But I wish you could have beat the shit out of Stone Cold, but I read you can't beat Stone Cold. I read if you can't beat him, they should beat that dog on his Nephew and Mike then. So I'm about to be on their side then.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to see what we get together. We do have a small motor car that sits like them, similar to them. We've talked about this race in the past. We're going to see if we're together and Ray, who's actually at the track this weekend. It's a blue Camaro. Looks very similar to them. We don't have it right, as you saw this weekend.
Oh, did you talk about that blue Camaro that was in the track you was messing with?
Yeah. When we got out with it, when we get it right,
Jimmy, they
offered the back tire to that car, and we're going to take it.
I was just finna say, Jimmy, it's a good thing they went at the track this week because they would have gave you the back tire and you would have been in trouble again.
No. We ain't right. And I'm not saying. I'm telling you, when we are right, that's a steel body car. They offered us a back tire with it, and we're gonna. When we're right, we'll let them know and we'll take that back tire.
Well, I just got a text in, Jimmy. They say you stop crying and lock up. 15 February.
I ain't ready. I ain't ready.
Let me get this other call in here. I don't know. Dang.
863-4142. 863-4142.
What's going on, Brett,
man?
What's going on?
I'm running Brown race. I'm ready to lock in.
Who you ready to lock in?
Your brothers.
Who?
This Chris Fee from all four. The white
Camaro. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Well, I can't talk for Hollywood Talk. I can't talk for him. He's not on here right now. But you probably gonna get some action.
Oh, okay. I figured he would be on your show. You'd be on your show, so.
Are you on speakerphone?
Oh, hold on, let me get off of it.
I'm off of it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear that right now?
Yeah, I can hear
that. It ain't hard to tell that you're gonna get some action. It ain't hard to tell. I'm playing this with you. It ain't hard to tell.
You playing it for me? Okay, I'm gonna make it sure. Bobby Child don't want to do anything?
Oh, Bobby Child.
Bobby Child is still there?
Yeah, he on here.
I'll take that race. I'll run him head up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Y'all want to do anything with Bobby Chow? I got a 29 inch tire. 29 inch tire, one kit.
I'm coming to sip it for dog.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're coming for me, then once I kick that ass, you ain't going to want to run nobody else.
Dog, I'll take the fight tie also.
Oh, what are they talking about? They want the back guy. Who they say that?
That's FDR.
So what now?
Came from Florida, the white Camaro.
You want me to get you the back guy?
Yeah.
You must have been smoking that shit this morning.
Ain't no, it ain't heard the accent.
I got background noise. I'm just on mute. I'm listening.
Dog, go on, tell them what you feel, dog. Go ahead and get on them.
No, Red Man, I'm going to respect your show, because, you know, once I get loose, you know I can't stop, so I can't do that, Red Man. I don't want you to get mad at me and bar me from the show, because, you know, once I get loose by this talking, I just slapped the shit out of Prime Time yesterday. I gave him 1-1 with doggone it, Bojack. Now, they done call it Bojack, the Hulk. They done had 15 different names. The name now, they call it the Wizard. I slapped the shit out of him yesterday, gave him 1-1, and before he moved good, I was 2 car lengths in front of him.
Good, great. Well, you know, this Christine right here, he's definitely on his trial. He's on his trial to win Rookie of the Year in grudge racing this year. And he's definitely, you know, moving in the right direction. I got to give it to him, you know. He's definitely moving in the right direction. We're gonna see how this year pan out with him, though. You know what I mean? He's a great, great guy, great competitor, great individual, all in one. You know, I got to give it to him, and he's trying to get some action. So if any of y'all callers out there, go ahead and tell him what kind of car you running with that you grudging with most of all, Christine. Go ahead and tell him what kind of car you have. That way everybody can hear you on the show, and we'll be looking for you.
A 70 Camaro, big block, one cast intake, one carburetor, center 29, no wheel bar.
If you got a Convision head motor there, I'm going to your ass.
Yeah. Like I said, I got a Convision head. Consider your ass
finna get ran over there.
Well, you know what, dog? Like they said, ain't how many you win, how many you lose. To get that title, that's my goal.
All right. Well, anyway, I want to send out another props out to the guys, Fast by Gas and them. If y'all didn't know, they was down there and they got in the shootout and them guys won a race. And after the race, I crew chief got his butt blowed out. Benny went back and ran a grudge match and got his butt blowed out. I was joking with him and I was shooting at him because that's what we do. But I want to send props out to him, and just like I told him, even if you lose a race, that means you have to be racing to lose a race. So props out to crew chief them. Even though they lost, they was out there trying to race, man. And they was gonna score for the fans out there. So props out to you, crew chief. I know how that go, man. I got my butt whooped 8 times, and all they want to laugh at is I got my butt whooped. They didn't realize you got to be racing to get your butt whooped.
Ain't that the truth?
Brad, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Come on.
I got a tech question. Can I get a tech question?
Go ahead. He's on here.
Come on with it.
All right. On a stock block Chevrolet, small block Chevrolet, 434, with good bottom end, all forwards, everything, how much matches would you put on that stock block?
Maybe 300, I don't know, something like that, 350 tops, that's about it. You know, when you start putting that, when you got that big stroke and everything in there, it's putting a lot of strain on it.
Right.
You put that, you know, put that 434 on it. Little 383 stock block, I'd put 300 on it.
Okay, I just want to know how much could be put on that safer, that's all.
Listen, you didn't say safely. You said, how much can you put? Listen, if you wanted to live, put a 250 shot on, 225, 250, and it should live all day long and be fine as long as your tune-ups are right. I tell you what, you got to be real careful with your timing, because detonation is what's going to break that block.
Okay.
Okay.
If you're conservative with your timing, don't be afraid to get that thing lean and mean, you know, with fuel. But watch out for detonation, because as soon as it starts detonating, that's the worst thing on those blocks.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Would it make a difference whether you're running a plate or a fogger? Would that make a difference on how much you can put on there?
No. No. Not to me. I don't think there's a difference. Here's the thing. Here's the problem with the plate. Is you have to tune to your worst cylinder. You got to figure out which is your cylinder that's most prone to detonation and watch that plug. And you just got to tune to that. And same with fuel. You got to watch it. And just basically at that point, you're just tuning to that cylinder because the rest of the cylinders, you got what you got. Some of them may be able to take a lot more, and you can't do nothing about it. So you got to figure out what your worst cylinder is and tune to that one. Usually a lot of them are 2 or 8, sometimes 6. But it's always typically on that side of the motor. 2 or 8 and sometimes 6 is what you got to watch.
What if you use a perimeter plate, like a Zex perimeter plate?
The whole thing comes down to you're not individually distributing to each cylinder, so you can't jet each cylinder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have motors where I might have a 12 jet spread in one cylinder and a 5 jet spread in a different cylinder on the same kit, just for distribution issues. To keep the motor absolutely perfectly clean across the board. Any kind of plate where you can't jet each cylinder properly. So when I say that, that's not a motor with one kit. That's a motor with 3 or 4 systems, and we're compensating it all through one system. The distribution
right.
issues, that's why there's such a drastic difference in jet numbers. But you can't, you know, with a plate, you can't tune just one cylinder by itself.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I know a little bit of nitrous because I done screwed up so much shit, but the type of solenoids you're using, wouldn't that make a difference? Because don't some solenoids put out more stuff than others, even though they might be the same, rated for the same or something?
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true, and that's why I refer it back to a guy like Ernie to talk to. But, yeah, the orifice dynamic, the orifice size of the solenoid, as well as, and it's something that I haven't heard much discussion on. It's a good tech talk topic for Ernie at some point. He may have covered it because I don't have the opportunity to always get on the show, but never mind the diameter of the solenoid. How does the solenoid flow? Because you can have, it's no different than having a cylinder head with a big, big port on it. And I learned this early on. You can have, say someone can bore out the ports on an intake port on a cylinder head and make that thing look huge. And I had a set done by a really reputable company, and the ports look small compared to my buddies. But we flowed them, and it was night and day. My little-ass ports flowed so much more air than that big, big old opened-up port on his cylinder head. Same brand head, same everything. So how they flow, the flow numbers – are completely different, you know, on different solenoids. So that's all that stuff plays into it. That's why, you know, you never hear me really talk much about 250 shots or 300 shots. I try to stay away from that. Usually use jet numbers. Jet numbers is after the solenoid, after what it flows, how much is actually getting past that jet into the motor. Now, on a plate, that's a little different because you've got the spray bars and also play a tune because that's the last thing after the jet. And the nozzles do slightly, but all the nozzles nowadays are pretty close. So
hey, Jimmy.
There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it is what I'm saying.
Right. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
You usually don't it. Now, like I said, I heard you say you asked Ernie now. If Ernie was getting him a tune-up, Ernie would probably be getting him a tune-up if he was using his system. Now, does different mm-hmm. systems calls for different tune-ups,
And I'm not saying tune-up. The Ernie thing is not about the tune-up necessarily. It's about I know he knows different solenoids. I'm sure in his business he's looked at other solenoids of other manufacturers and knows what what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong compared to what he's doing right and he's doing wrong. And he, you know, that's, I think every manufacturer that's in a competitive market has to do that. At least I would hope they would. And, you know, if SpeedTech came out, if I was Ernie and SpeedTech came out with a brand new Grand Latest Great Solenoid out tomorrow, first thing I want to do is get my hands on to see what they're doing. Because that's how the market is competitive.
Hey, Jimmy. Do you install system? I mean, do you just work on tune-on cars on people and you work on whatever they got? Or do you have customers that you put stuff on yourself? It's a two-part question. I just want to see what you said first.
I have customers that run out of my shop that I put stuff on. That's very few and far between. Most of my customers, I'm running with whatever they've got. If something they've got I can't work with, meaning I feel like I'm gonna hurt their stuff, I'm not going out there and hurt motors. So if I feel like something they've got isn't gonna allow me to do what I need to do, first thing I'm doing is telling them we gotta change this. We ain't gonna go nowhere with this stuff. We're gonna be burning stuff up, and I don't go to the racetrack. So, I do a little of both, but the ones I put parts on are few and far between.
Okay, now the reason I asked you that, I was just thinking, you know, you might have gave Ernie a call or something. See, can't y'all get some kind of partnership on to try to get his doggone product spread it down there? If he got a good product, I'm telling you,
absolutely.
Ernie, because he'll beat any competitor out there. I mean, you know, whatever you got out there, he can beat it. And you know, wouldn't be no better place than to have somebody like you to push it if you believe in it. Now, if you don't believe in it, then you and him can get behind the scenes and y'all can talk about it. But I think you'd be satisfied with it, myself.
No, I know I will. I know I am. I've worked with this stuff before on other people's cars, and I can tell you I have absolutely zero issue with this stuff. This stuff, you know, does everything I need it to do, and there's no issues. Actually, one of the first auger systems I ever worked on was one of his back when I didn't know nothing. I was learning on it, and it was one of his, and we had success with it. So, and I also have personal friends, people who taught me about this racing thing, older guys that taught me about this racing thing when I was 16, 17 years old starting, and they're personal friends of Ernie. That's how I got hooked up with him a long time ago, but never met him face-to-face for it's been years. Some of his old personal friends are also old personal friends of mine. So, you know, I have all the faith in Ernie's product for sure.
Hey, Brandman.
Yeah.
When is Ernest show on, and what time?
It comes on tonight at 6 o'clock.
What time?
6 o'clock tonight. Talk with Ernie.
What's it called?
It's called Tech Talk with Ernie. You can call the same number that Dog show, you know, the same number Dog has.
Okay.
And he'll be on that number, and it starts at 6 o'clock. It's Tech Talk with Ernie. He's going to have Ronnie Davis on there tonight talking about batteries. Yes, sir.
I heard you that. I didn't mean to break in, but I want to tell him, even though, don't care who we got on, caller, don't care who we got on, it's called the Ask Ernie Tech Tips. Don't care who we got on there, you can come on there and ask any question about any question you want to know about anything. It don't matter. Like I said, we'll stay on as long as we need to stay on and talk to you to try to get you resolved. So if you call the Ask Ernie Tech Show, that'll be on tonight at 6 o'clock. And the number, for all y'all that don't know, is 714-888-7485. Thank you, Brent, man.
Thank you, Doug. This is Mr. Tiff.
Yeah, if you, but you know, you're on this show because normally we can answer any questions that Ernie can, and Jimmy is well known and versatile, and you know, we all work together, to be honest. What we can't answer, we will refer you to that show, because we have the number one show in the nation, the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino show. I just want to throw that out there.
Hey, Bread Man.
Yes, sir.
Bread Man. You keep an eye on that Thursday Night Thunder show now, that Mr. Tip TV radio show now.
Well, yes. I'm not going to listen. You know, I get on that show and I listen. I sit back and listen. And, you know, I support it, and it is coming along very well. And I'm not knocking that show at all. You know, I'm not. Really, to be honest, all these shows are great. But, you know, it's hard to beat the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino show. It's very hard to beat it. But, you know, honestly speaking, though, Dog and Ernie has the, I mean, I'm keeping it real here, y'all. They have the number one tech talk show in the world. I'm not lying. You can get online and look at it. You know, they have the ratings up there, and they are the number one talk show in the world. But that's only because what they do is they get out there and they offer you, you know, free meals and stuff like that from the, what is that restaurant they go to, Jimmy?
Ryan's.
Yeah, Ryan's. They go to Ryan's and they give you coupons and stuff. See, we don't offer any coupons. Our people on our show, we want people to be healthy, not fat, round, you know what I mean, out of shape guys. You look at Dog, he walking around, he always hungry, always want to eat. You know, we don't do that. We come to race. We come to race. And, you know, when we get a sponsor that we can start, you know, giving coupons for nitrous, for fuel, for any type of race stuff, then we'll probably, you know, get up there.
Hey, Bread Man.
Yes, sir.
You got Jimmy Moreno. I want Mr. Tip. Hey, Mr. Tip.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You heard Bread Man talking that trash, but when have you ever seen a starving camel make a pass? Hey, y'all can shut up, because Mr. Tip, my man, Mr. Tip going to tell the truth. He had to get Bobby Wildchild straight earlier. Bobby Wildchild is there telling people that God doggone mash your brakes and look at your oil pressure gauge. Bobby, go lay down some damn way and drive that UPS truck. But anyway, hey, Bread Man, one more thing I got to say before I go now. One more thing I got to say before I go. This for you and Jimmy both. I've been y'all age. Y'all ain't been my age.
Yes, indeed. We not knocking that. We not knocking that. And that's why, you know, when you was at our age, we sure that you was doing the same thing we doing. And that is laying it down the right way. We don't have to take any additives or any. We don't need nitrous bottles to do what we do. Believe
hey,
that.
Hey, Bread Man. You'd be surprised how many people out there taking them additives, Bread Man.
I ain't bothering with you, dog. I don't know. Let me get this other call in here. 47. Y'all know who this is. Y'all know who this is. He's back. Yes, sir. Your mic is live.
Hey, Willie Dog. If you gonna tell it, tell it right. I said trim on the brake. I didn't say mash the brake.
Okay.
Okay. Tell it right. Now, if you gonna tell it right. But now I still say again, you can look at the oil pressure. Because you're not going that fast. Go on mute.
Bobby, go lay down, Bobby. Bobby, lay down, Bobby. Your brain ain't functioning right. Lay down, Bobby.
Okay, y'all.
Well, y'all, I want to thank all of y'all. Jim, did you have anything else? We finna close this thing up.
We talked about locking in some races for Ronnie Brown's race, but we'll be out there. I'll be there. What's the date of it, Dog? At South Georgia Motorsports Park?
15 February, South Georgia Motorsports. There. They got a big dog on it. They got a big shootout out there. It should be some good racing, Jimmy.
What shootouts is he having?
They got a 28-29,
yeah.
Baby. Come on out.
28-29. 28-29. Okay.
28-29.
Is it combined or is it separate?
If you got a pro charge or anything besides knots, you got to be on 28, though. That's how we even the field up, but we let them go. Free entry.
And I can tell you now, dog. I can tell you now, my son will be there. He loves that thing what you call free entry, and we gonna shock the hell out somebody. I don't think I'm gonna say. Going back on you.
I got a question. There was someone on here with a Camaro from Bradenton earlier who said he got a single carburetor cast manifold Camaro on 29. Conventional head, looking for some action. I know where there's a Mustang that fits like him. It's on 28. But conventional had a single carbureted cast manifold. He's got only got one system on it. He'd definitely be looking for action at Ronnie Brown's race, which is interesting.
Well, he's still on here, Jim. He hear you.
I don't know the man. I ain't trying to jump on nobody. I'm just if there's two Troy Blake.
I'm here.
There you go. Hello? There you go, Jimmy. That's him. His name Christine. Jimmy.
Christine.
That's
okay.
Jimmy.
All right. Jimmy,
I'm
trying
to jump on that, buddy. I'm just throwing it out there.
You know me. I bought no seatbelt from you down at West Palm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember you. Okay. Now I know.
There you go picking on your customers, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, I ain't picking on nobody. I know a car that sits like them. If they want to get it on, they can. If they don't, no big deal. Don't matter to me.
Who is the person?
Troy Blake's got a blue Mustang that sits like that. Conventional headed, single carbureted cast manifold.
Oh, that's who put my Pro Charge motor together.
No.
Yeah.
No, ain't no Pro Charger.
No, that's who put my Pro Charger motor together.
Oh, he did?
I'm his customer.
No, he don't build no motors.
No, I bought all the Pro Charger stuff from him, and that's what we'll be doing my phone and everything.
Yeah. He sold a bunch of stuff. Pro Charger stuff.
I just bought everything for him. That will be my new car coming out. I'm trying to get ready for Mike Hill race.
Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I bought all Pro Charger stuff from Troy Blake just last month.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. He got that blue Mustang put together, and he's finally getting it sorted out a little bit, but that's what it is. I know it's a conventional heavy deal, so I figured I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
You do what you want with it. No big deal. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I want to thank all y'all. If y'all don't have anything else, I thought Ronnie was going to get on the show today, but he probably didn't make it.
Ronnie was a little busy. He just asked me to get Dog involved, get Dog to do cover for him, and he said Dog will handle all that for him.
Okay, then. He did call me, though. I want to once again thank Ms. B for her great, great help. I want to say I enjoy speaking with everybody and, everyone that called in. I thank you. Great show. I'm getting ready to ease on out of here. Y'all know before we get out of here, let me ask all of you. Dog, you got anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, man, y'all covered it pretty good today. We appreciate everybody. And we appreciate all the races out there. Appreciate it, Brad, man. Appreciate it, Jimmy. Y'all be good. Mr. Kiss. Bye, child.
Thanks, Dog. It was nice seeing you.
All right, Doug.
Mr. Tip, you got anything else you want to add before we close it out here?
No, I'm just sitting back enjoying the show. It was a great show, and I'll be joining you again, and be on the lookout for the Tip Radio Show, Thursday Night Thunder on Thursday nights. And I'm up.
Give him the number, Mr. Tip. Give him the number to the Thursday Night Thunder.
Man, I got it in my phone, man.
Let me get it for you, Mr. Tip. Yep, got it. Let me grab it right quick. Get y'all the number to Mr. Tip Show. There we go. The number to Mr. Tip Show is 718-664-9327. Thursday Night Thunder with Mr. Tip and the Florida Boys. 718-664-9327. Y'all give them a call and, you know what I mean, check them out. It's a great show. It definitely is. And thank you, Mr. Tip, for, listening in on my show as well. Thank you for that. With that being said, let me see. Bobby, you got anything else you want to add?
Hey, no, I'm not running here. I'll see everybody in Valdosta on the 15th down there at Ronnie Brown Show. Good show.
Okay.
Good show.
Appreciate it, Bobby. Christine, how about you? You got anything else you want to add before we closing statements or anything? I guess he don't. And Jimmy, you got the last word here.
Nope. Great show. Thank you to the people who did come down this weekend. Willie Dahl, Miss B, Eric Robinson, Eric and the whole group, Bobby. Thank you all for coming down. It was nice seeing you all, and we'll see you all up at Ronnie Brown's. Looking forward to that race. Like I said earlier, it's one of my favorite places to go. He puts on a great event, and we'll be up there looking for some action. Hopefully we're right. We just don't know what we're bringing yet.
Sounds great. Appreciate you for all you do, too, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, dope. Well, y'all know that the Bread Man ends all his shows with inspirational vitamins. It goes as follows. Remember, no matter what you face in life, don't let go of God's hand, because God said, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, I will help you." Have a great week. This is the Bread Man, one time for your mind. Thank y'all for listening in. Once again, we'll see you next week on the Bread Man and Jimmy Marino Show. Y'all, peace out.